This is Kyle Keller. You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News.
The year of the Tiger, the year of your third place, Hanshin Tigers, which makes this the year of H10, Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host, T-Ray, and joining me from Paradise on Earth in Hawaii is Sanjay. How's it, brother?
How's it, brother, T-Ray? And can I give a woohoo for us being in third place?
You absolutely can. Third place is where we're at. The regular season, is now over. Today is October the 2nd, and we just finished watching game 143. This is episode 157 of our pod. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, everybody. We have got a great, somewhat unexpected show for you. We thought that we would be wrapping up the season and giving out the H10 awards, but instead, we are previewing the first round of the Central League playoffs, which will be taking place this coming weekend. So strap in and join us for a great ride. It is time first for the rumors and news.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
Number of things on the docket here, but we will try to rip through these while making comments. Sanjay, the first one would be that Atsushinomi, our ace of the past, and he who has been with the Oryx Buffaloes for the past two seasons, announced his retirement on the 15th and had his retirement game on September the 30th. So, as far as I know, he will be a coach with the Oryx Buffaloes next season, full-time, instead of being a player coach. And eventually, I would assume that he'll be coming back to Hanshin, where he played 14 seasons, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that, yeah.
14 to 16. Anyways, he had over 100 wins with the Tigers. I think he ranks fourth all-time in career strikeouts with the team and like eighth in career innings pitched. So, otsukare, Nomi-san. And for one last time, we got to say it. Nomi-san, aishiteru.
Aishiteru yo.
There you go. So, wishing him all the best. Now, speaking of pitchers and aces of the past, this one came out of left field, out of the bullpen for that matter, as far as I'm concerned, because Fujinami had announced that he would like to be posted this offseason and give MLB a crack. This news came at us on September the 28th. What up with that? What are your thoughts on this, Sanjay? Do you think, A, is the team going to let him go? And B, do you think that he is going to get signed and succeed in the majors?
Well, you want to know something? I actually think that's kind of a very neat solution to a very complicated problem. If I'm reading the tea leaves correctly, this was brought up last year at his year-end discussions with the team. And from what I can gather, they said, well, let's kind of wait and see how things pan out. And there were actually a bunch of scouts at his most recent outings in Japan. And I think what it all adds up to is, hey, if our coaches can't straighten him out, maybe the major leagues can. You know, I think there's a lot of upside in this for everybody. And the Tigers get something out of it because it's a posting system.
Yeah, they'll get a little bit of cash money, but you know, we'll see how they use that money. Are they going to use it to actually invest back in the team, or are they going to do something else with that money? That's kind of none of my business anyways, but I feel like Fujinami may struggle initially. And my biggest concern with him, to be honest with you, man, is the fact that he would be among the first, if I'm not mistaken, Japanese players to go overseas to the majors without a spouse, unless he's going to throw some surprise at us and say, hey, I've been married the last 3 years and just didn't tell anyone. I feel like, you know, we can't underestimate the importance of family and him having somebody that he can come back home to, or somebody that's just going to kind of keep him grounded, whether things go well or not, just to be his kind of support line. So I wonder how that's going to go for him as a single guy, if that is indeed the case, and how he's going to adjust. You know, is he going to be able to make friends out that way very easily? What's life going to be like off the field? Because it's a whole lot more than just him being on the mound. It's about him living in America.
Wait a second. You're saying that Shohei Ohtani is married secretly and I don't know about it?
Oh, oops. Well, that yeah, you're right. But Shohei is definitely a different situation by far. I mean, this is a guy that obviously he's got Ipe with him. So, you know, may not be married, but may as well be. you know, he's got that awesome support. And he's also just a super grounded kid who has been focused on this for much of his life.
True. Yeah. I give you that. And I guess maybe the better parallel is Shinjo, who was married but left his wife in Japan to go play for the Mets.
Yep. And how did that end up going? And obviously, we're not saying that's because his wife wasn't with him, but that is a factor, I believe. Anyhow, you know, we will keep you posted, if not via the podcast, then definitely via the social medias and probably the website as well, if and when Fujinami makes his way over to America. Obviously, you know, we wish him nothing but the best, and I hope he succeeds. I hope that he does awesome and that he proves all the doubters wrong.
And comes back to the Tigers.
Well, I don't know when that would happen. You know, if he succeeds, then chances are he'll stay there for a good long time. And maybe when he's ready to come back, we may not want him. But that is a different podcast for a different decade, as far as I'm concerned. Okay. Let's move forward then. Real quick, slide this in because I forgot to mention it alongside Nomi. Itoi, who retired and had his final game a while back, maybe a week or so ago, he actually started a YouTube channel. So if you do a search for him on YouTube, you'll find him. I think he's just got like a couple videos, but he's hoping to do some more content. And you know, he's a great, interesting guy. So I say, check it out.
I would check it out for sure. And he actually got a hit in his last game too.
He did. Which is pretty amazing, considering the pressure that he was probably under. Well, okay. Let's then move into the biggest news. I guess it's still rumor, or is it news, that the Tigers have named the new manager for 2023? Would you call it news or rumor?
I think it's still technically rumor with quotation marks around it, because they were going to wait until the season was over, the regular season was over.
Yeah.
And that would be tomorrow.
Yes. It was announced on the 27th in the papers, and the papers actually had a hush put out on them, and they were told, if you're the one that leaks this, then you're done with reporting on Hanji. Well, I think there was this kind of mutual agreement, and back on the 27th, honestly, like the team was still looking like it was doubtful that they were going to make the playoffs. We had three games left at the time, and we just needed everything to line up just right. Everything lined up just right. So anyhow, without further ado, let's name our new manager, or at least what it sounds like it is going to be our new old manager, the man who was at the helm from 04 to 08, Akinobu Okada.
Okada.
Yes, also legend who played for the team from 1980, 81 until the mid 90s, if I'm not mistaken. And definitely a lovable personality, a very smart man. Probably, you know, I wasn't a fan when he was manager. I was still kind of, I don't know, doing other things, but apparently he's a good manager too. Like he's very savvy. And so I look forward to seeing what he can do. Now, there have been a bunch of people rumored to be on the coaching staff for next year already. I'll name a few. If you've got some to add, you can. Apparently, Hirata, who is our farm manager, will be coming up and being the head coach on the top squad. And then Imaoka, who was with the Marines for a couple of years, but also a Hanshin, you know, old boy, will be on staff. Kyuji is going to have a special position, him being, you know, the ace closer that we had. And then there are a few other names bouncing around that I haven't listed in my notes. Do you know any others?
Yeah, so they were talking about raising from the farm team, Kubota and
Ando.
Is it Ando? Yes. Yeah, so the pitchers that Okada had for him when he's managing, who are actually on the farm team being pitching coaches, and not necessarily because it's a demotion to Fukuhara and Kanemura, who are on the top team right now, but it might be a good rotation. And also the guys on the farm probably know a lot about the ones that they want to bring up. So it kind of makes sense. Keep the institutional knowledge going. The other one that they were talking about was for batting coach, maybe Sekimoto coming back.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
And one more was Mizutani, who was a guy that was with Okada at the Blue Wave. Oryx. Yes,
that's right. Actually, little side note, I took a baseball lesson from him.
That is cool.
Yeah. I mean, he taught me stuff that I didn't know, and I wasn't a very good student, so I didn't learn it very well. But anyways, that's a different story. So there you have it. It sounds very much like Okada is going to be the man in 2023. Will he be the one to return us to glory? That remains to be seen, of course. Keep in mind, he's 64 now. He'll be 65 before next season starts. So he's definitely getting up there in age. I don't expect this to be like a 5 or 6 or 8 year tenure with the team. I expect it to be a couple years, maybe 3 at most. All right, let's talk a little bit about the foreigners. So first of all, on the top squad right now, we've got Rojas Jr., Marte, and Keller. Neither of the two position players were in the starting lineup or have been in the starting lineup for probably the last 10 games or so. And Keller has been used in different spots. He's in the bullpen, he's being used. And by and large, putting today aside, he has been quite effective as well. That means on the farm, we've got Gunkel, who started on the 14th of September. Not a very good game, 3 innings pitched, 4 runs against. And then he was in relief today, 2 innings pitched and 3 runs against. Oh man, those outings on the farm kind of leave a little bit of doubt in my mind as to whether he's going to be back next year. I mean, you'd like to think all the good that he did on the top squad in those, you know, 3 seasons he's been with us is enough for him to get another contract. But that's a bad way to end the 2022 season for him.
And you never know with the front office and a new manager coming in and wanting a clean slate or whatever. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And then also Alcantara is still down on the farm as well, and he's getting some action in. I think he pitched an inning today, or if not, it was yesterday. So that leaves two guys that, what happened to Wilkerson? What happened to Rodriguez? Exactly. Wilkerson has left Japan, they say temporarily, to be with his wife, who is giving birth to their, I believe, 4th child. But I wonder if this is a permanent move back to the States, simply because of his performance and because he hasn't been on the top squad since early August, maybe. So he had May, June, and July, and that's about it on the top squad. I just don't see them bringing him back. Also, Adelin Rodriguez, A-Rod. He was doing all right on the farm, but he apparently is leaving Japan soon because he's not on the postseason top squad roster. So the talk is that he will be gone, not returning for 2023.
I suppose there's always the possibility that if Okada, if he's the next manager, has a strong liking for him, then maybe, you know, he will rally it to bring him back. You just never know. But for now, you're right.
Yeah, I wouldn't put my money on it for sure. Well, now that we're on the topic of the farm, though, or somewhat, let's talk about the farm.
Doing our best on the farm. Gotta make the coaches see I can make my plays on the first team.
So, our Nigun second squad farm team ended the 2022 season with a 66-39-5 record. That is good for first place. We won the Western League for the second season in a row. Congratulations, Hirata, Kantoku, and the farm boys.
Woohoo!
I was waiting for that. Thanks. And so we will be facing the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles next Saturday for the Bam Senshuken, I believe it's called, something like that.
Bam Nihon Senshuken.
There you go. So that's the one we are going to play. It's a one game winner take all series. Last season, we beat the Marines 3-2, I believe, to take it. And I think in 2018, we beat the Giants to take it. So we're looking for our third Nippon Ichi on the farm in the past 5 seasons. Wishing you guys all the best. Let's talk a little bit about some good hitters down on the farm. And I really, before any other hitters, I need to give props to the 2 first-year high school guys. They are putting up pretty much unheard of numbers down on the farm. I was looking up like what kind of OPS first-year players out of high school get in their first season on the farm as pros. And most of them hover in the 600-ish range. And one of the best ever in that first year was a guy named Yoshihiro Maru. You may have heard of him. He plays for the Giants now, played for the Carp, is an all-world player, or at least an all-Japan player. Well, we'll start with Ukyo Maegawa, who spent much of the year injured. He's an outfielder and was drafted in the 4th round this past offseason. He's only played in 20 games this season because of injury, but he's batting .259 with 3 home runs, 7 RBIs, and an OPS of .756. So pretty good stuff there, really high. And then even better than that is our catcher that we drafted in round 7, I want to say. That would be Hayato Nakagawa, who appeared in 49 games and batted .302 with 3 home runs, 15 RBI, and an OPS of .853.
Wow.
I've not even heard of those numbers from one of our stars in the top squad, let alone a 19-year-old down on the farm. So I think his numbers are right in line with Maru's first-year numbers when he was on the farm as an 18-year-old. That's not to say he's going to be the next Maru. You know, not everybody has that same path to greatness or the same story arc. But I think it's okay to be hopeful for Nakagawa in the future for this team.
Names to look, keep tabs on.
Yes, yes, indeed. Okay, other guys doing well on the farm or that did well. Takatera, who is on the top squad now, by the way, he wins the batting crown in the Western League, hitting .280. And Inoue, who's also, actually all of these guys that I'm mentioning were drafted out of high school at some point. Inoue had 11 home runs and 70 RBI, both good for second in the Western League. And that is because a certain Richard for SoftBank hit 29 home runs this year. So out of this world numbers from him, but good on Inoue. He is showing steady growth, but I think that Okada is going to probably try to rush him in the sense that, you know, he's going to apply that pressure and say, hey, you know what? Like, we drafted you out of high school. You're a fourth year guy at a high school next year. That is. So it's time to step up and, you know, get to the top squad, or, you know, you're going to run out of chances, boy. And that's kind of how I feel too. But anyways, you know, we'll see how that goes. As for pitchers, Akiyama, who has spent much of the year on the farm, partly because of injury and partly because we've had great pitching on the top squad, leads the Western with 9 wins. So not a title he's proud of, considering that he's won, you know, like 10 plus games in 3 out of the past 4 seasons or something like that on the top squad. But nevertheless, he's down there getting it done down there and looking to make a comeback in 2023. And also Murakami, who was drafted in the 4th round in 2020, led the Western with a 3.09 ERA and with 7 wins and 4 losses, I believe. So some good names, some good players down there. Sounds like a bright future for them on the top squad if they can continue to develop. All right, let's get some sponsor props, thanks, shout outs in right now. This is all Patreon stuff, and Patreon right now is shut down as far as collecting charges from the fine folk, but we still want to thank Shane Barclay, Richard Geiwitz, Tom Zilla, Rick Silvers, Fran, Michael Schulke, and Doug. Oh, what the heck? Let's name them all, because this is our final regular season podcast. We also got the Tokyo Swallows podcast, Anita, Zorni, William Schofield, Ian Hadle, Joe from Wakayama, and Jamie Owens of Central English Okayama. There you have it. Thank you all so much for a wonderful season of support on patreon.com/thehunting tigers.
Thank you, Patreons.
Okay, we're going to kind of breeze through the recap because basically we're cutting to the chase. We made the playoffs and that's probably all you care about, but let's look at how the season ended for us so that you can see kind of how dramatic it was. Not quite to the tune of 2019, but nevertheless impressive. So we faced the Carp at home for 2 on the 13th and 14th of last month. They got a couple runs thanks to an E6. And then Oyama with an RBI single bottom of the 5th, drawn in outfield, leads to 2 runs for them in the top of the 6th. And then Shikamoto with an RBI single, Shimada with a sac fly in the bottom of the 8th, and that was it. Aoyagi with the loss. Next day, we come back and win 6-5. This was a very much a back and forth affair, a seesaw game, if you will. Carp with 2 in the top of the 1st, Tigers with 2 in the bottom of the 1st, Carp with 1 in the top of the 5th, Tigers get it back in the bottom of the 5th, Carp with 1 in the top of the 6th. Tigers with 3 in the bottom of the 6th. That would be an Umeno 2 RBI triple and a Marte sac fly. And then the Carp with 1 in the top of the 7th. That was the end of the scoring. 6-5 win. Yuasa had a big jam but got out of it. Iwazaki gets the first 1-2-3 inning of the game for us in the ninth for the win.
So it was a Marte sack fly, not a Marte McFly.
Correct. Yeah, doesn't quite have the same ring to it. All right, then we face the Giants for our last game against the Kyojin of this year. It was at Tokyo Dome where we've been quite successful. Sato opened things up with a home run in the top of the second. Nishi was shaky in the fifth and sixth, allowing a couple of home runs. He was quite good until then. And then Marte with an RBI single in the top of the seventh, and that is it. So that would be a Marte McRib, not a Marte McFly. All right, so we lost that one. And then the next day against the Swallows at home, we lost again. Fujinami was outstanding. Six innings pitched, nine strikeouts, but an E6 plus an E1. That would be a Fujinami error, by the way. In the top of the sixth, gave them a run. The bats were atrocious, especially with chances, which we had in the first, eighth, and ninth innings. So a 1-0 loss. The only good news there is that is the last of our 26 shutout losses on the season. Obviously, that sets a new club record. Fortunately, we scored runs the rest of the way, but the losing streak continues. Make it three straight because the Bay Stars beat us on the 20th at home. I was at this game not feeling too good and not feeling good about what's going on the field because Stano got a home run early, Oyama with an RBI early, and then after that, the Bay Stars got one run in the top of the sixth, and it looked like things were going to, it was going to end up in a loss. But in the bottom of the eighth, Yokawa with a home run, Haraguchi and RBI single, Sato and RBI single. So we are up 4-2 going into the top of the ninth. And then Iwazaki just got blasted. They got tons of hits and they ended up winning 5-4. The three game losing streak extends the next day, also at home against the Carp, to 4. This one was Itoi's retirement game. And things were going all right in a sense. We got a 2 RBI single out of Sato, bottom of the first. Ito struggled in the top of the second, though. Then Itoi with a pinch hit single, and there was an E4 in the bottom of the fifth, so we scored a run. Umeno with a home run in the bottom of the sixth. But we had a pitcher error plus a bunch of hits in the top of the 11th. So they scored 6 runs, making it a 10-4 loss. A drawn-out affair. You know, everyone's waiting around to hear Itoi's retirement speech and to give him his final, you know, just ride off into the sunset and the do-age and everything. They had to wait extra long, and it was extra stinky, not only because of the hot summer night, but because of the Tigers' play on the field.
6 runs in the 10th. Wow.
Yes. 11th inning, actually.
11th, sorry.
And so now, our backs are really, really against the wall. I mean, it looks like the Tigers may even finish last. You know what I mean? Like, we're not even talking playoffs anymore. We're like, okay, stop the bleeding somehow. A 4-game losing streak when we really didn't want to lose any. The good news is we go out to Hiroshima on the 23rd and we won 7-3. I was at the game. It was nice to be out in Hiroshima. That was really cool. Chikamoto and Oyama with RBI doubles in the top of the first and Haraguchi with a home run as well. The Carp got one back in the bottom of the inning, and then in the top of the fourth, Takatera with his first career hit. It was an RBI double, and then the Carp got a couple back in the bottom of the fourth, so it's 5-3 at this point, but then Teru hits a huge 2-run home run in the top of the sixth. This was the first time I've ever seen Teru hit a home run at a baseball game. I've been to quite a few, and he hasn't hit any until he hadn't hit any until today, or that day, I should say. So it was kind of interesting. It was nice to see. And man, that kid has got a swing. And the sound of the ball off of that bat is something special.
So at this point, can we get all of our patrons to contact Hanshin Tigers management and petition them to make sure T-Ray is at every single game that they play in Hiroshima?
Just every single game would be fine. Doesn't have to be Hiroshima.
Okay.
I'll go to 143 if they're going to pay my way.
Done.
Okay, so we go we got like 3 days off, and then we go into Tokyo to face the Swallows, who have clinched the Central, and now it's just a matter of, is Murakami going to hit number 56 and set the Japanese record? But he's been slumping.
Air quotes. You had air quotes there that the people can't hear.
Yes,
or see.
Yes, air quotes, because it's not a record and because O isn't Japanese anyways. So
exactly.
But the whole thing, I mean, it's just ludicrous. I mean, the record's a record. It's not like, you know, when somebody hits number 255 that's a base hit in America, they're not going to say, wow, this person set the American record for most hits in a season. You know, it's still shy of Ichiro's record. You know, they're not going to do that. Give me a break. You know what I mean? The record's a record.
Totally.
It would be one thing if it was like, you know, they talk about the Barry Bonds, you know, 73 and the Maguire 70. I get that.
Yeah.
It's not like O was doing anything illegal. Or, pardon me, Ballantyne. Oh, sorry. I should say it's not like he was doing anything illegal on the field. Ha ha.
Okay.
Okay.
I see what you did there.
We'll stop there. This is not, this show is not about him. It is about us beating the Swallows two straight in Tokyo. Both games, Nakano with a leadoff home run. What is up with that? This kid is fourth on the team in home runs this season with six.
That's why I have his jersey.
Because of his home runs? Huh. I kind of doubt it. But anyways, so there you go. He had the leadoff home run, and then Takatare hit a sac fly in the top of the fourth. And that's where my notes end for some reason. But we did get a couple more runs. We ended up winning this one 4-1. The next day, again, like I said, Nakano with the leadoff home run. And then it was an infield hit and an E1 to tie the game in the bottom of the sixth. Been a lot of E1s in this recap, man.
Yeah.
Time to get those guys back to camp. It's actually different guys each time. I think it was Fujinami, Iwasada, and this one it was Ito. Anyhow, Haraguchi with a clutch RBI single in the top of the eighth. And then Hamachi, Keller, Yuasa, and Iwazaki were lights out. I don't think they even allowed a single base runner in that final three and a third of the game. I could be wrong. There might have been one. But it just was not even like they weren't even threatening to score, it didn't seem. So now it comes down to we have got the 29th and 30th and October 1st off, right? Yep. And the scenario now, thanks to these two wins, is if the Tigers can win their last game, it does not matter what happens to the other. No, that's not even true because the other teams had some games to play. The Carp had to play the Swallows twice. They lost them both. That eliminated them from the playoffs. The Giants.
Thank you, Swallows. Thank you, Swallows.
Yes, thank you, Swallows, for letting us win or for losing to us. They didn't let us do anything. We're just that good. And then for beating the Carp. And then the Giants faced the Bay Stars on October the 1st. If they had won that one, and then it would have come down to today, and whichever team won would have won. But they lost, which meant that today's game was kind of not important in the sense that the Tigers had already clinched third place, regardless of the outcome of today's game. But let's talk about today's game. It was interesting. We scored our first run in the bottom of the sixth. It was the first run of the game. I'm calling it an E5. They didn't call it an E5. But anyhow, that was it. It was 1-0. And then we get to the top of the ninth. And Keller, oh, man, Keller. This would have been your chance to, you know, make all right that was not right on game one. But he gave up a slew of hits, and he left with two outs and the bases loaded.
Loaded.
And then Kobayashi came in and walked a guy, so they end up getting three runs in the top of the ninth. Keller was not getting smacked around like he did on game one, but they still got hits. Anyhow, bottom of the ninth, we did get RBI singles out of Umeno and sixth string catcher Sakaeda, who made his debut. It was his first game played, his first at bat, and he got the clutch game tying RBI single. So we had a chance after that to do more. We could have walked it off then. We could have walked it off in the 10th, I believe it was. And we did get a base runner in the 12th. Nevertheless, Saiki with three shutout innings to keep them off the board. It was close in the 10th, though. And we end up tying 3-3, which I suppose is good because that means that we do finish the season 68-71-4, a half game ahead of the Giants. So it's not just that we won on a tiebreaker. We actually did outright beat them by a half game. And we're 4.5 back of the Bay Stars, who have one game left.
I'm all for moral victories at this point.
Yes. Yes, for sure. And you know what? Like we can, the Giants have nothing, no ground to stand on. You know, the tiebreaker is bogus this year. Like, no, you just didn't make it.
No.
So there you go.
But I do have to point out one thing, though, that the Bay Stars, you know, even after they clinched second place, they beat the Giants. But it's not because they were trying to do us any favors. I think they'd rather face us.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the records.
I would say so, too. And we'll talk about that in the preview section or the hot topic section, I should say, which is coming up real soon. But first, I want to give one final roast to the departing manager, Akihiro Yano.
Yano.
Hey, so we're gonna have to come up with some new theme music and a new jingle for next season. I've kind of got something in mind, but we'll talk about that another time. Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Yano one last time. And this is it's a legit question, I think, for people who know more about baseball than me, which is most people. We'll go back to the game I was at on the 20th against the Bay Stars, and I forget which inning it was. It was late in the game. We had a runner on first, and Ueda came up to the plate. I think he had come in as a defensive replacement, so he was in the game already, and his turn up at the dish, and we had a runner on first, and he came up to bunt. It was clear to everyone that he was bunting. Their pitcher was a right-handed pitcher, therefore he lined up on the left side of the plate because he is a switch hitter, but he's a natural right-handed hitter. My question is, if he knows he's bunting, and everybody in the world knows he's bunting, and he's more comfortable from the right side of the plate, shouldn't we just have him bunt from the right side of the plate? I mean, honestly, then he can also angle the bunt towards first base more easily. So my question is, why, again, this is not necessarily on Yano, but I wouldn't also put it on Ueda. But I don't know. Am I wrong in thinking that you line up where you're most comfortable to bunt? Because he failed in that bunt. He like fouled off three straight bunts. What do you think?
So I think that's on the coaches.
Okay, but does it make sense to line him up from the opposite side, like the pitcher's opposite arm? Is a right-handed pitcher?
Only if there's the smallest chance that he would not bunt on that third strike.
Yeah, okay, like that's such a small percentage, and I think if you want him to land the bunt, you know, you got to hope that in those first two strikes, he's going to do it from his more comfortable side. Now, he's been a switch hitter for a number of years, so that's not to say that he can't do stuff from the left side, but I could just kind of see he didn't look as comfortable. And, you know, again, a left-handed hitter trying to lay down a bunt, in a situation where everyone knows you're bunting, I just feel like, you know, it wouldn't matter which side he stood on. So I would have wanted him on that side. Okay, the other one from that game too is this. Yano did not pull Iwazaki soon enough. And the guy from from MBS that was with me, that took me to the game to film me, because I'm going to be on TV next week. We'll talk about that another time. Real soon, because if we don't talk about it soon, you'll all miss it. Anyhow, I was talking to him during the game, you know, and he goes, you know, I've covered a lot of games, like just from the press box, and I've heard a lot of people talk. And one of them said, you know, there's a time for thinking about the closer's pride, and there's a time for saying, no, you don't think about his pride anymore. You think about winning. And, you know, at this late in the season, when you can't lose a single game, you can't stand by your closer when it's clear. And it was clear, really, from the first or second batter, he doesn't have his stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think they should have pulled him real soon, and they didn't pull him. So those are my beefs with Yano. But I love you, Yano.
I love him too.
Then let's move on and let's get into the hot topic.
Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News.
So, as we said during the recaps and basically throughout the show, the Hanshin Tigers have finished the season in third place. What does that mean? It means woohoo, and it means that this coming Saturday, October the 8th at 2 p.m., H10 is hoping to have a viewing party through Patreon. So, if you are a patron, go back to patreon.com and find that link and join us for the viewing party. But more importantly, that means that the Tigers have at least two more games this season. They have got a good chance. Yes, I repeat myself. They have got a good chance of winning this series against the Bay Stars. They have got a good chance of beating the Swallows at Jingu. They have a chance, despite being three games below 500, of representing the Central League in the Japan Series this season. I legit believe that they have that chance.
They certainly have mathematical possibilities for doing that. And in fact, Yano, in his closing aisatsu, his speech to the fans, said as much. He said, this is the last regular season game at Koshien Stadium. And he didn't say if we come back. He said, when we come back, it's going to be the Japan series.
There you go. So let's buy into that and say there is going to be a Japan series that Hanshin is a part of. So go, go Hanshin. But let's first talk then about our season against the Bay Stars. And the first thing to note is that somehow we got embarrassed this year thoroughly. We went 9-16 against the Bay Stars. Very unusual for our guys. Very unusual. Scored 79 runs in 25 games. That's like just over 3 runs a game. Allowed 94, which is closer to 4 runs a game. So yeah, we did not do particularly well against them. 14 errors in those 25 games. Batting just 232 against their pitchers. I don't get it because we're usually really good against that team. And we're usually really good in Yokohama. But this season, we were an atrocious 2-11. In their ballpark.
Yeah, and I don't have an explanation for that one, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone does. Like, you know, they're the Yokohama Ginko, right? The Bank of Yokohama, where we, you know, build up our credit, if you will. We build up our capital.
Yeah.
Not the case this year. So let's look back a little bit at the season against the Bay Stars. We started our season series against them with a 4-0 win. And if you will remember, Sanjay, that brought our record to 1-9 on the season.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was...
Not that I want to remember that, but yeah.
Yeah, the very next game, actually, we had a good chance of winning again. Ito was, I believe, one strike away from a complete game shutout. Gave up an RBI single to Maki, and then in extra innings, the floodgates opened up and we lost 6-1. And then we'll kind of speed through a little bit more. But in Yokohama, we lost 3 straight. I remember one of them was a walk-off or maybe 2. It was 1 walk-off loss. But we lost, you know, 3 straight. Then we went 4 straight wins against them, 2 in Yokohama. So it looked like, well, maybe that first series there was an aberration and 2 at Koshien. But then we rattled off 4 straight losses against them, including a 3-game sweep in Yokohama. We swept them in July just before the All-Star break at Koshien, and that enabled us to enter the All-Star break with a .500 record. But then in August, amidst our 8-game losing streak, we lost 3 straight to them. We got shut out 2 straight at Kyocera against them at the end of August, and then finally won our first game of the season at Kyocera. That being our last game of the season at Kyocera, but our first win on the 25th of August. 5-0 with Junya on the mound. And then we ended our season against them, losing 3 straight, 2 in Yokohama, 1 at Koshien. That was the one I was at, the heartbreaker, where Iwazaki just could not get an out to save his life. So that's how it all went down. It was really like a lot of streaks. We won several straight, then they won several straight, and back and forth. So it's hard to say that they absolutely, even though they beat us 16 out of 25 this season, it's hard to say that they have the absolute edge over us. Let's look at first of all, we can look at our batting lineup, which I would imagine, Sanjay, like we're probably going to stick with the same starting order that we've had for the last, 10 to dozen games. I just don't see Yano straying from that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. We're going to go with the status quo, like what got us here for the last few games.
So it looks like this then. Batting first is going to be shortstop Nakano. Batting second is going to be third baseman Itohara. Batting third will be center fielder Chikamoto. Fourth, left field Oyama. Fifth, first base Haraguchi. Sixth, right field Sato. Seventh, here's where the question mark comes in. Is it going to be catcher Umeno or second base Takatera or second base someone else? That's the only place they might fidget with things.
Mm.
And then starting pitcher.
Well, eighth catcher, yeah.
Right, although if Takatera's in, they may put the catcher in seventh, especially if it's Umeno. Today, they put Takatera seventh, Sakamoto eighth, and then Junya ninth, which I thought Junya's probably got the best bat of the three of them. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thoughts on this lineup. Do you think that they'll be able to get it done against the Bay Stars pitching?
What I'd really, really, really like to see is Yano try a little Yano magic and make some tweaks in there. And I think that he thinks Takatera could be a lucky boy. And I don't see why not. And so stick him in there as high as we can, seventh, and see what he can get done.
Fair enough. I'm okay with Takatera being the guy at second base. He, you know, his average is quite low, but don't be fooled by that. He's very young and he's still growing. And obviously, you know, this isn't the time that we want to develop our players, but he did collect a double today. And he just seems to be able to come through when we need stuff. You know, he had a decent chance of being the hero of today's game. And in fact, we didn't talk about this in the show. We talked about it before the show. Was it his slide home? Wasn't it?
Where it was his slide home. He was safe. He was totally safe. The catcher's tag was way high, never made contact with him. And Yano asked for a replay. And I thought for sure that it was going to be called safe. And they didn't have the balls to do it.
Right. Yeah. So let's keep Takatera in there, but let's look also at our other bats and how they're doing this year, especially at Yokohama Stadium. And we'll start with the guy that I love most, and that would be Sato, our number six hitter, who's batting .311 at Yokohama Stadium with an OPS of 1.044. So that's looking good. I like having him in the lineup. I wonder if, you know, obviously we're not going to fiddle with the batting order, I'm sure, but nevertheless, he could be one that could do some damage there. Although, you know, he is not as good against left-handed pitching, so we'll see how he does against probably Imanaga in game one.
His OPS was 1.044 at Yokohama Stadium?
Yes.
He probably hit the ball 1.044 kilometers on that one home run too, right?
The one last year that he hit out of the park? Yeah, it was something like that, for sure. On the other hand, Chikamoto not as good at Yokohama with a .273 average and an OPS of .623. Those are both below his season pace. And then the other core guy, of course, that we want to talk about would be Oyama, who, look out, his average at Yokohama is ridiculous. .088, no home runs, two extra base hits, an OPS of .342, by far, like not even close, but by far his worst stadium.
I had no idea that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we're talking pretty small sample because it's just 10 games. He missed a couple because of COVID in Yokohama, but, you know, 34 at-bats and just 3 hits. Believe it or not, his OPS at Koshien is .933, which is pretty crazy good considering it's such a pitcher's park. So, yeah, Oyama was the Koshien boy this year. So those are our main bats. As for the starting pitching, what do you speculate is going to happen here with our rotation? It's a 3-man rotation, essentially. We're gonna send 3 guys out to start these, well, at the most, 3 games. Who do you go with?
So I think we both watched the same YouTube thing with Rami-chan talking to Kawato. And it's basically some order of Aoyagi and Ito for the first 2 games, and then whoever's hot the game after that, Nishi, Yuki, or Nishi Junya, even. I don't know. Whoever's good.
So here's the thing about the 2 Nishis. Yuki, whose ERA on the season is 2.18, has an ERA of 9.9 against the Bay Star, or 9.9, I think, in Yokohama. So he's had just a couple of outings.
So let's not do him.
And a 5.21 overall against the Bay Stars. So clearly not the man that you necessarily want to call on, especially because you'd think he would be getting game 3, right? So he might not be the one you want with the series on the line and a chance to move ahead against the Swallows. So I would propose either we go with Junya, who hasn't pitched in Yokohama this year, or even Saiki, who threw 3 shutout innings today, would easily be ready to go on the 10th because that would be game 3. He is also not outstanding against the Bay Stars, but he only had the one outing. It was a 6.2 innings pitched and 3 runs against. So it is a quality start. Outside of them, I don't know who else you would get to start that third game.
Saiki looked good today.
He did. Maybe just as a surprise. No, I was just going to say Shincheon, right? But his ERA against the Bay Stars, he only has the one game, 14.54. So maybe not.
Yeah, if you're starting Shincheon, then you got to have your next guy ready from the first inning.
Yeah. Well, I think for that game three, it kind of has to be an all hands on deck, and I'm okay with that. Like maybe they start Junya, but they have Yuki and they have Saiki ready to go just in case things turn south.
Well, that was kind of the way today was played, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they only let Junya throw three innings, and then Saiki got the last three, and he was the last pitcher on the bench. So they basically used everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So who are we going to face? It looks like probably game one is going to go to Imanaga, would be my guess, right? And Imanaga against us this year has a 3.46 ERA, which is not outstanding given his overall ERA of 2.26. But also at Yokohama Stadium, his ERA is under 2 at 1.99 and a 7-1 record. So it's time for us to tarnish that.
Yes.
He's a left-handed pitcher, which gives us well. Hits because we're going to start those three lefty, little lefties up at the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that's going to pan out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're holding our own against Imanaga, though.
Yeah. Yeah, not too bad at all. So I think, I mean, we've got a chance. I definitely wouldn't say that he's got our number or anything like that.
Agreed.
And then according to Rami-chan, probably they'll go with Onuki in game two. He's only faced us once this year, but it was a good outing for him. It was 7 innings pitched and 2 runs against. One of them was earned. The other was unearned. And if I remember correctly, we scored the run very early in the game against him. So then for their third pitcher, we're assuming maybe it would be Hamaguchi, another southpaw who against us has a 1.82 ERA, so that doesn't bode well. And at Yokohama, he's a 3.63. So those are the likely candidates for them. As for their bullpen, I think a lot of their bullpen has actually had success against us. But the one guy that I think we can key in on, that would be Escobar, their eighth inning guy who has a 2.47 ERA on the season. But against the Hanshin Tigers this year, it's 3.75. And we've found we didn't even hang him with a loss. He should have lost that game I was at. See?
There you go.
And, yeah. Yeah. He should have and could have and would have. Actually, lefties do better against Escobar than righties. If I'm looking at the numbers right here. And so it kind of works to our advantage to have all those lefties in there. Yeah.
We just need to get to him.
Yes, we need to make sure that he is the one in there for the eighth inning if they have a lead. Well, even if they don't, I don't mind. Yeah. So that be that. As for their hitters, who do we need to look out for? Obviously, they have got a very good hitting lineup, and they also don't have Tyler Austin playing regularly, and I kind of don't think he's going to be in there for the playoffs either. But the guy I think we need to key in on would be their number three hitter, I believe, and that would be Sano, Keita Sano. Who, you know, he's batting .289 against us, which is below his season average, but an .809 OPS. And he's quite good at Yokohama Stadium. So I think him, and then who else do you see as a real threat or a danger against our team?
Well, the one that scares me all the time is Maki. Is he okay?
Maki has kind of been up and down of late. I think he's started to heat back up lately. In fact, looking here in his last 6 games, he's got 8 hits. So he is doing all right. Against us, he's batting .300 with a .787 OPS. Just 2 home runs.
Yeah, but it seems to me like, you know, leaving impressions, Maki and Sano are the ones who like seem to be doing all the damage all the time.
Yeah, and just looking at Maki's numbers at Yokohama, batting .361 there on the season. That's not just against Hanshin, but still. .361? Are you kidding me? That is crazy dangerous. And the other guy that just, maybe not by the numbers, but definitely by just my feeling, is their leadoff guy, Kuwahara.
Mm.
I feel like he always gets hits when I don't want him to get hits. Which, I mean, I don't want any of them to ever get hits, but I mean, there are definitely times where I'm just like, why now? And, he finds the gap or whatever. But also in the outfield, he seems to be really good at making those really nice plays out in center.
Mm.
So really, I mean, as we know, they've got a really good lineup. They also have Miyazaki, who's pretty good. They've got Soto, who this season is pretty bad against the Tigers. Little side note on that. Okay, so he's at his worst against the Tigers, maybe a bit worse or quite a bit worse against the Carp, but against us, he is not himself for sure. Against like the Dragons and Swallows and Giants, he's really good this year. So I met him very briefly in February down at spring training. And I just talked to him. I was like, hey, man, I hope you have a good season. I'll be cheering for you, except when you play the Tigers, because I'm a Tigers fan. He's like, oh, okay, thanks. Thanks anyway or something, right? And so turns out he didn't do so awesome against the Tigers. So
you put the hex on him.
Hexing him, yes. So there you have it. I still say we do need to be careful about him because he is a very good hitter.
He's dangerous.
He's the one that I think hit a walk-off home run against Hamachi at Yokohama early in the season. So again, you can't take this team lightly. Certainly like the power that they have in their bats, and then you know the top of their rotation is pretty decent. The back end of the rotation, especially Yamasaki against us, is really good. So it's definitely one of these, it's gonna be a full team effort. It's gonna require a full team effort. I don't know, like my beef from this podcast against Yano was in a Yokohama game, and I really think, you know what, it may come down to Yano making some good decisions and helping us win the game somehow. I don't know how, but somehow. I think maybe one of the big things, and I'm just saying this off the cuff, I haven't looked up the numbers, but I feel like their catchers are not that good at throwing out base runners. And so I think we're just gonna need to run like heck and just really steal a bunch of bases and just, you know, cause some havoc for their pitchers and their catchers when we get our speedsters on base. So they're the key. I really think Nakano and Chikamoto are key. What do you think?
Well, we have the horses for that. And I do know that what Okada was saying for next year was like someone like Chikamoto, no sign. He's got a green light forever.
Nice.
And you know, let's implement that already.
He has also said, not that we want to preview 2023 right now, but during broadcast, he said, I don't know why Chikamoto's batting third. I would put, if I were manager, again, this is before the announcement, which we're still waiting for. He said, if I were manager, I would have him batting leadoff and nowhere else.
Yeah. And totally agree. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't recommend that Yano fiddle with the order. I mean, this is what everyone's gotten comfortable in, for better or for worse. You know, you dance with the ones that brought you and in the order that they brought you. But I am looking forward to that about next season. So, any other comments about this upcoming series in Yokohama?
Well, the fact that it's a 2 p.m. game every day, I'm welcoming, because then I can actually watch it in real time and send you irritating messages while we're watching.
Bring it on. So, yeah, let's jump into then, obviously, the last segment of the show, predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be?
And obviously, there's only one thing to predict here. That would be, how many games is it gonna take for the Tigers to win this series? I'm not giving you the option of Baystars here.
No. And I don't need that option anyway.
No.
But I think that we will need all three games.
Okay. I think that's fair. I was about to say Tigers in two, but I am going to say that they take game one and get falsely confident, and with our backs against the wall, we are going to win games two and three and stick it to them and play the Swallows next.
That scenario, do you have Aoyagi pitching in the first game or no?
I do, just because I don't think that Yano is going to go unconventional and use somebody else in the first game. I think he's going to say, well, Aoyagi's the ace. He won 13 games. He's the Saitasho, right? The man who won the most games in the CL. And you got to go with him. And I'm not necessarily against that. I mean, we were talking about Rami's strategy in 2017 that he used to beat us. Yeah, it looked great, sounded great, and it sounds great coming out of Rami, but it doesn't mean it works every year for every manager. So I'm okay with Yano, and we got to support Yano right to the end. And that's what I'm doing. Whatever Yano decides, I'm down with.
You're here.
And I'll complain about it in episode 158 if. So Here's the situation with H10, the podcast. Sanjay, I hope you can agree with me. We haven't really consulted on this, but when the Tigers win this first round, we are going to immediately, or as soon as possible afterwards, take to the air and preview the upcoming series after that, which would start on the Wednesday in Tokyo. So be ready for that, everybody, because we don't want to wait until that series is over before we talk to you, before you hear from us again. So, thank you for tuning into H10 for the last regular season podcast of 2022. And if you've not gotten your fill of Tigers news, check us out on Patreon. The benefits are going to somewhat keep coming in the off season, but there will be no charges until the spring. You can also check out our website, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. All those details are down in the show notes and across Punching Tigers English News land. Special thanks to Silent Partner for the theme music and show for mixing the pod for us. Could not do this without you. Thank you, Sanjay, for joining.
Thank you for having me, and Ganbare Hanshin Tigers.
We'll catch you all next time, everyone. Let's go!